Chapter 13, let's look at the Word now, of what the Word said. Let's give some confirmation of what God wants to do tonight. Thank you, guys. Y'all are awesome. First Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 1. The love chapter. Right? We usually don't want to read it, right? Because you always get convicted. But 1 Corinthians 13, 1, let's read it here. I'm going to read these scriptures to you, and then I want to share, if I can find my glasses. Says there, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and of all knowledge, and through I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Just think about that. If you were removing mountains, that'd be pretty impressive. All right? Removing mountains, pretty impressive. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Well, it kind of strikes me when I read that, Grant, I don't know who in the world would give all their goods to feed the poor if they didn't have love. Right? But somebody like you just said there, Laura, somebody I guess just wanted to show forth good works. And they were doing it out of the wrong motive, but I mean, that's craziness to me, okay? Especially the be burned part. Okay, love suffers long. So I was asking the Lord the other day, and it was kind of a silly question the way I ask honestly, but when the answer came, I felt kind of silly because I said, Lord, I need a really good definition of love. You know, because you can go through the Greek words, and you know, you can go, well, it's agape love, or it's phileo love, or it's, you know, erotica love or whatever. You can go tear it off. I said, that's really just a really good definition of it. Can you give me a really good definition of love? And he said, well, why don't you just go read the words that are there? Love suffers long. Okay, so this is a definition of what love is, right? And it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Okay? Now, I want you to go look at Matthew 18. chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Now I want you to go to the book of Ephesians. I usually don't preach like that, but I want to get all the scriptures out right now. Ephesians chapter 5, 22. Watch out now. Don't run out. Wives, submit your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Note that Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church. Notice he loved the church. And he gave himself for her. And he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So we are members of his body and the flesh of his bone. For this reason, man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. So when Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus here, he's talking about that the church, this body, this group of believers that we are, have gathered together, and that he wants us that have come here to be without spot, without wrinkle, and in love. And then he gave us a definition of what love is, right? But he's doing it for himself. All right? Now, this, I just got to pray that the Holy Ghost lets me be able to speak what's in my heart tonight so you can see what I'm feeling and seeing. Our concept of church has been wrong for hundreds of years. Okay? Our concept of church has been that, you know, basically, the way I'm trying to present this, the way I'm trying to say is that man has established buildings in towns, strategic places, for then people to come and gather into that place and do what we call church. But the true spiritual thing of the spiritual concept of the spiritual, the thing that's happening in the spirit is the Spirit of God, you know, like a beam of light falls onto a place that God says, here's where I want to establish my church. This is where I want my bride to be. I'm going to gather this people from this area. I'm going to draw them by my spirit to this place where I am going to create within them me, and there's going to be the bride that is going to be mine, that's going to be without spot and without wrinkle. Y'all with me? Man can't establish a church. God has to establish a church. Men can go and they can go and look at the demographics of the area and say, well, you know, oh, look at this and look at this. I drive by places all the time and see buildings that I'd say, man, that'd make a good church over there or something like that, because I look at the location, I look at the highway, I look at the parking out front, I look at the size of the building, I look at all that kind of stuff. But no matter what man could do, because if man's going to do it, then he better have a really good dog and pony show to draw the people in, because if man's going to do it, then man's going to have to keep the thing running, because it's nothing more than entertainment. Are y'all following me? It's nothing more than entertainment. You can call it a church, but it's really nothing more than entertainment. What it is it has to be a place where God Almighty has put forth his finger and said, this place, I want to establish my church. I want to establish what I have called and what I have done. Okay? I know that people can throw rocks at us or whatever, but I know that God established this church. I know that this out in the middle of this wilderness, there ain't no sense for this church to be here. All right? It's not logical. It's not geographically correct. It's not demographically correct. It's not anything correct here. But God, for some reason, and it has something to do with what he's doing between now and when he comes back, that he's trying to do something for a reason, because he's trying to establish something that is all for him. It's not for us. It's all for him. We're just members in the body of Christ. We're just toes and knees and fingernails and hair follicles and whatever to create the bride that's going to be for Jesus. Y'all with me? So then really the truth is, man can't do anything except walk in love. And what is it? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Man can't really do anything but walk in love and get in the flow. Are y'all following me here? Because he's doing all the establishing. He's doing all the building. He's doing all the creating. It's all him. It's not us. Look at verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not prate itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Y'all follow me? So all he's saying is that I want to get a flow going. Because I'm establishing it. I'm putting it here. I'm sitting it down right here, and I'm establishing this by the Spirit, by my Spirit, and it's for my flow to get my bride created. Right? Now, how many of you that are married have ever had an obstacle get in your marriage? You know, a little difference. A little, not down to the throwing the pots and pans, but I mean, you know, you just, something came up that, you know, just irked you. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I mean, I don't just look at me. Bruce, you just look at me, staring at me like. I mean, are you scared? Are you in trouble right now? Sharon, is he in trouble right now? I mean. Okay. Okay, so you all know what I'm talking about, okay? Like, in other words, it's nothing that you're gonna go to war over, but there's something that's a little tiff going on. It's just like that chair. A chair is in my way, right? But I mean, I can skirt around it. It's okay. I still got enough room to walk back and forth. And it's okay, but there's just something kind of awkward. Something not right. Isn't it interesting that Jesus compares what he's trying to do in the establishment of a church to a marriage? Well, what we know about marriage is it's not always easy. We got back today from San Antonio because we went down to celebrate our anniversary, which was last Friday. But 34 years, praise God. And we loved on each other and we talked and everything, but I don't want to be married to anybody else but my wife. I'm glad we're married. We went through some hard times. We've been through some hard stuff, some ups and some downs and whatever, but I loved her and I wanted to marry her and I chose her and I said, sweetie, I want to marry you no matter what. I mean, even when I didn't know Jesus, I loved her. Okay, when you love something, you bear all things, you believe all things, you hope all things, your love endures. Just because we get in a disagreement about something and an obstacle comes in front of us, I don't want to get rid of the marriage. Well, just like with Jesus, when there's an obstacle comes in the church, he wants to fix it. He doesn't want to just get rid of the work. Right? He wants to move people and touch people's heart and move within them and work within them because he's trying to work out the marriage. But I don't know about y'all, but I have seen this too many times in the past 20 years of trying to do any marriage counseling, is that if one person does not want to change in their life and the other person wants to change, they're not going to have any success. And in my opinion, the marriage covenant's broken. Okay? If somebody doesn't want to remove the chair, they just want to build around this chair. So I'll live with the chair there. We'll just clear out. We'll space a little more room over here so you can get around the chair, but I ain't moving. I ain't changing that offense. Well, you know what? It's more difficult. I had to laugh at myself. I restrung the strings on my guitar, and I was reminding myself every day that I needed to get it out and play it before we got to the third Sunday so I'd get all the strings stretched out and everything, get it all back tuned up. And so I took my guitar case to just remind myself that I needed to play it every day. I laid it out on the floor of my office. Well, the other night I walked in there, the lights were off, forgot that thing was on there, tripped over that guitar case like the crash face first down into the floor, you know? And I started laughing because I was like, yeah, hear what I meant to, you know, remind me of something, almost got my neck broke. Well, you're going to forget that there's this obstacle if you don't deal with it, and then you're going to run into it, right? And then, of course, what happens when you're dealing with that obstacle? You know, then you get another obstacle. So now you got this one over here. And so now, you know, I mean, I can still walk back and forth, but I kind of have to do it. And you know what happens? After a while, you get enough obstacles in that relationship. Before long, you're going to get tired of even moving back and forth because you're dealing with those obstacles all the time. There's no flow. There's no joy. There's no peace because you got these blasted obstacles in the way. So the key is, you got to deal with the obstacles. Right? There's no way around it. You can't get around it. You got to deal with the obstacles. You got to get them out of your way. So there's a free flow. I wrote this down. This morning, a heart of love bears all things and still loves. Right? I mean, I love my wife. And if there's an obstacle or problems coming in our relationship, I want to bear it until we can get it fixed or resolved or solved or whatever, right? I'm not saying we'll throw everything out. I'm just wanting to bear the obstacle because it's love. I love her. But a heart of selfishness, it's never satisfied. Okay, so once you get out of love, listen, once you step out of love in a marriage relationship, then it goes to selfishness. Well, if you'll change, I'll do this. Well, what about a church? Come on, you compared the church as a marriage. So what about a church? Well, you know I'm right in this situation. And, you know, if he just changed, everything would be okay. Well, wait a minute. Selfishness has entered into the relationship. Isn't that what happens in a church body? That the members get selfish and they decide that this is the way I want it to be, rather than saying, Lord, how do you want it to be? Because see, if it's a man-made thing, then man's setting the rules. Now listen to this. A marriage that's built on love learns and corrects and keeps growing. Right? But a marriage that's built on judgment will always be destroyed. A church that succeeds must be built on love for one another, not judgment. I'm so proud of you guys because, you know, I have people tell me all the time that they always feel so loved here. Okay, they feel loved here. Well, it's because we don't put judgment on people. We don't say, oh, well, they didn't dress right or they didn't act right or they don't look like they're, you know, having enough. Because, I mean, bottom line is, and none of us can point fingers. Hello? I believe every one of us in here has a pretty good testimony of a crazy life we came out of. So there ain't no sense in us pointing fingers and saying, oh, well, my God, they did that. I'm like, well, I did that. I mean, it's more like, that's all you did? I don't know if you ever remember this story. I know I've told it before, but I can remember long years ago, we had a men's meeting up here. It was when the church was still the other way before it was ever redone. And there was a person that was attending church, hadn't been here for very long, and he came to the men's meeting, and Pastor Randy was still here, and he said, hey, why don't y'all all start, just start right here at this chair on this side, and just give your testimony, come around, you know, about where you've been in life and whatever. And just happened to be that the new guy was on the very end, so he was going to have the last testimony. And so, I don't even remember how it started, but I mean, it started with, you know, like me telling my testimony about where I'd come from, and then it went to the next guy who was talking about his life of violence and fighting and whatever, and then it got down to the next person who had been involved in attempting to kill himself with his girlfriend and a big deal, and then it got down to just one more worse testimony. I mean, as it started, it just, nobody put it that way, but it just like, here was a bad one, and then the testimonies just kept getting worse and kept getting worse and kept getting worse and kept getting worse and kept getting worse, and the people had just done worse things, and, you know, it just got, you know, down. And so when it got to this guy on the end, he just started laughing. And he just laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he was just laughing. We said, what's so funny? He says, by God, when y'all said, tell your testimony, He said, all's ever happened to me is I got a divorce. He said, I felt like I was going to be of the worst testimony. He said, I got over here, I feel so good that I ain't never even been anywhere where you guys have been. And he just started laughing. And I remember the whole thing, we all stopped. And then we said, yeah, isn't that great, though, that God forgave all of us no matter where we are? It's not like you were this bad. There was no judgment in it, right? But he was so relieved because he was like, oh, thank God. You know, I don't look bad at all. I was worried about my testimony, you know. And y'all were going to judge me for it. He said, oh, my God, I forgot to listen to y'all. Man, I feel great, you know. So whenever there's judgment comes in, whenever somebody looks at somebody and says, well, you don't do this or you don't do that, or da, 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 whatever the judgment is, well, what happens is it stops love. And when it stops love, well, then God's not, he can't, there's an obstacle in the way. Because love is going to believe all things and bear all things. Would it not be amazing to have a church where people say, hey, listen, I just don't understand what's going on. Can we work this out? What do we need to do? I mean, what a novel idea. Like a marriage, right? You just work it out. You don't just keep having an obstacle. Because when you keep having an obstacle, well, then you're just going to be, now you can, it can function, but you just got this obstacle in your way. It makes it more difficult. Still goes on, just makes it more difficult. Okay. Got a really good one here. So in judgment, I mean, you set yourself up as the judge. That's why it's called judgment, right? Only the word can judge. Because man's judgment is determined by the rules that are established by the person himself, right? Isn't it amazing that we always want to set judgment on things, but we're the ones that establish the rules? Last night, we were blessed because we got given two rodeo tickets to the San Antonio Rodeo last night. Man, row six right in the dirt, man. And so it was great. Well, the concert was done by Jeremy Camp. And, you know, don't judge me, but I don't listen to a lot of contemporary Christian music. It's just not my flow. I, great. So I don't know Jeremy Camp. I don't know his music. Laura did, and apparently the other three quarters of everybody that stayed there did, you know. But I didn't know who he was, you know. And so they bring out the stage and get on there and everything. And so this guy gets up there and, man, he's wired. And it's not my style of music. It's not my genre of music. But, man, this guy is worshiping. God, I'm blown away that this happens in the San Antonio Stock Show. I mean, he's talking about Jesus and he's talking about nobody saves except Jesus. And it's not stage performance. Man, this guy is preaching the word and the anointing of God's in there. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, I'm just sitting there just blown away. I'm just like, I can't believe this is taking place in the San Antonio Rodeo and that everybody stayed. I mean, the stands were full. There was maybe, you know, less than a quarter of the people left. But I think that quarter of people would have left anyway. But, I mean, they were full to the top balcony sections were full, and this guy's just singing about Jesus and Jesus saves. And, I mean, every song was just amazing, and I'm just sitting there going, wow. And so I'm just watching. I'm just sitting there just observing, just watching these people. I'm like, all these young people are there, and they're just like standing up and worshiping God. And I'm like, I'm at the rodeo. Praise God. I mean, you know, I we had a strong prayer, and we have the national anthem, we have all this stuff, and stuff. And you know there's, you know, grassroots kind of people are there. But anyway, and so I'm just blown away. I'm watching all these people, those older people and younger people, and everybody's just praising and worshiping and raising their hands. And I'm like, wow, look at this, man. I mean, there is some hope for the world, dear God. You know? And I was just blown away. And I thought about it. I said, you know, this is where it could really get into judgment, because my rules are, you know, I mean, I like country music. That's what I grew up on. And a person could look at it and say, well, you know, I don't know. You know, he's jumping and dancing, and is this really, you know, the right kind of worship music? And I don't know if this is really honoring God. And you know, I mean, people could come up with any kind. Why? Because they established the rules. But what about His rules? Yeah, what about His rules? What about the rules of all the this, you know, a new generation that wants to worship God in maybe a different way or whatever? You see what I'm saying? You can't get in. Only the Word of God can judge. Only the Word of God can be set up and be in judgment of that situation. If it isn't judged by the Word of God, then what's going to happen is there's going to be conflict. There's going to be an obstacle set up. There's going to be something that you have to move around. Got to work around this. Man, what a miserable way to live life when you're having to work around all these obstacles all the time because you can't just be, Lord, whatever. Glory to God. Praise God, whatever. The guy sitting beside me was crying the whole time. And I'm like, it was so funny because he didn't know much about rodeo because I was listening to his comments to his girlfriend. And while the rodeo was going on, and I was like, they were getting ready to do bulldog, and he said, okay, they're going to rope that one now. And I'm like, yeah, they ain't roping it, you know, they're throwing it at that, you know. He didn't know what was going on. So apparently he just came for the concert. I don't know. But he's sitting there weeping. At the end of the thing, he had everybody join hands all around the whole, you know, everybody said, I'm holding this guy's hand. I don't know who he is. And lift your hands, and, you know, and I don't know what the last song, what were we saying? Something about, I don't remember, whatever. But anybody was singing the part of the song or whatever. And when we get through, the guy turns and looks at me, and I say, hey, man, God bless you, you know. You could see, like, all of a sudden, why he was like, hey, this guy, you know, maybe he's not as big a heathen as he looks like, you know. It's probably what he was thinking. But it took it away, you see, because it made us all, we were all in unity. And what I just hear the Spirit of God saying about our church is that we've got to come to this place and we've got to watch ourselves because we can never set up judgment against anything. Because if we set up man's rules, well, it should have been done like this or it should have been done like this and I wish they'd do this and I wish they'd do that. No. It's like a marriage. You got to work it out. If we want to see the power of God flow, we've got to be in agreement. If we've got to be in agreement, well, we have to work these things out so there's no problems in these obstacles here. Because I am convinced that we will see a major, major move of God here if we can just get an agreement. And we say, oh, yeah, well, no, it's agreement. We're all in agreement. Are we? You know, are we? You know, how many testimonies have we heard people talk about where, you know, the church filled up with prostitutes and you know, homeless people, and the people got mad and left the church because they didn't want to be in that kind of a church? There was no agreement. They really weren't in agreement. They were praying for the loss. But when the loss came in, they were like, hey, dude, wait a minute. You're sitting in my seat. So there was really no agreement. And what I'm saying, if we prepare ourselves now and we come to that place in life, we can say, Jesus, we really want agreement. We really want to walk with you. We understand what you're saying. We want to work this relationship out. We want to work these things out in our lives so that we can just get in a flow and we can go. Well, then I'm telling you, he's going to move because it's his church. It's not our church. And he's creating us to be his bride, not our bride. And we don't get to say how we want to act as a bride. Right? Now, if my wife would have been, you know, 6'3", you know, I still think I'd have fallen in love with her. I loved her. But I didn't, I mean, she is who she is, and I am who I am, and we fell in love with each other, and we love each other for who we are, right? And she doesn't think, man, I'd really love you more if you were to have been 6'3". Right? Because that's not love. Love just loves. Love's blind. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the definition of what really true love is. And if it doesn't fall in that definition, you know what? It's not love. Well, you know, but I'm right and you just need to change. And I can say over 34 years of marriage that we would not be married today if we wouldn't have been willing to sit down and work everything out. And we were both in agreement to work everything out. And if one of us would have put our foot down and said, no, I'm not changing, wouldn't work. We were laughing. We were married. We went on our honeymoon. We had a big honeymoon. We went to San Antonio. 34 years later, we're still in San Antonio. I don't know. I guess we're just stuck. I just can't quite get out of the thing. I don't know. Old habits die hard or something. I don't know. It was a nicer hotel than we were 34 years ago. Yeah. So my prayer has been, which I ask y'all to make it y'all's prayer. My prayer has been, Lord, any obstacles that I have in the way, please show me so that I can remove it. Any judgments I've made, any preconceived ideas I put in there, anything I've done there, please just tap me on the shoulder. Tell me, because I want to work it out. I want to sit down and work out our marriage. Not our marriage, but our marriage. Amen? And so, the last thing I want to say is, you know, like C.W. was testifying about Sunday, that just fits so perfect, and that message is, you know, I mean, really, that message came from the heart of God, because I didn't even know where we were going there. But when we know that we're called here, then we know we're a part of this work that God's doing here in little old Utopia. Why? I don't know. We're here. What he's going to do, I don't know. I could have picked a lot of better places, but he said here. And so, all I can tell you is it's going to be good. But we got to get the obstacles, make sure there's no obstacles in our way. No judgments there, no preconceived ideas. And then God's going to just do it. Amen? So, with all that said, we've got to look in our own hearts. And then let the Holy Ghost tap on us and say, oh, you need to move that chair out of the way. And then it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.